Welcome to the Celtics Journal Podcast, the weekly show covering the Boston Celtics. Today I'm joined by host Jeff Kidger. What's up, Jeff?
Not too much. I'm happy the Celtics are doing well again. They are way too closely tied to my mood, which is a very unhealthy relationship to have to this team. But right now I'm happy that they're doing great.
Yeah, there's a lot to be happy about. We took down three teams in the last three games. It's a lot to be happy about. Sixers game, not the best thing in the world, but we'll get into it. But today we're gonna recap those four games real quick. We're gonna give our MVP of the week, and then we're gonna dive into, is this team back? Is this Celtics team back? Are we contenders? And then we're gonna go into our predictions for the rest of these West Coast teams, and then we're gonna wrap up the show. All right, let's get into it. What did you think about that first Sixers game?
The Sixers game was disgusting. It started kind of like the way I thought it was going to be, a low-scoring game where they kind of went back and forth for a while, but eventually, like, the Sixers defense was way too good. It was better than I thought, and then they pulled away, and it was really disgusting after that.
Yeah, we sucked in the first half, and that simple as that. I was watching the game at a bar, and I just kept drinking.
Yeah, makes sense.
It helped. It helped. I'm not gonna lie, but I mean, we were definitely missing Tristan Thompson,
absolutely,
to say the least. Because I mean, Taco Fall just came in so early, and that was pretty much the end of it. When I saw him coming in the second quarter, I knew it was over.
Taco actually did a pretty good job. Now, surprisingly,
he did a good job, but he's not an NBA player yet.
Yeah, he's still Taco Fall.
He's still so raw.
Yeah, but did you
expect too much from him?
Did you notice that Embiid didn't really try to go down on the block when
he did that once or twice?
Yeah, but it was a lot less. I was surprised he didn't try to go at him.
I mean, I would.
Yeah, he's huge, obviously, but he's so slow.
Someone that tall should definitely stop somebody from going to the paint a few times.
Yeah, makes sense.
But we're definitely missing Tristan Thompson, and then Evan Fournier obviously out with health and safety for the last few games.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, he'll be back because obviously we've been winning some games, so we haven't needed him as much. But when he comes back and he can find a role in this offense, I think this is going to be a really scary team in the playoffs as we kind of gain some momentum. But the Knicks game, what was your opinion on that one?
That was... You know, before the Nuggets game happened, that was my favorite game, probably of the season, because I think every single time before that, you see a game where the Celtics go into the fourth quarter trailing, and are forced to kind of execute, they fall flat on their face. That was the first time I'd seen it in such a long time, where the Celtics actually just out executed a team, and it was beautiful to see.
Yeah, they almost folded too, though. They almost folded like three or four times in the fourth quarter.
They have a habit of doing that. Minutes.
Yeah, but they saved themselves, and that's the important part. They fight a lot, and this entire season has been like either we're up 15 and then we lose it, or we're down 15 and then we have to come back, and then it's a matter of can we close that game out.
Yeah, those games always end up being really close, like with the Mavericks. Getting destroyed and then come back, and it's just you fall short. They come back just enough to give me hope.
Yeah, those are heartbreak games where, like, you hate the team after for a little bit.
Yeah.
For a couple hours, you're a little angry, but the last three games, we've had that same thing happen every single game where we're either down big or we're up big, and the other team has come back, like in the Timberwolves game. At the end of the game, what happened?
Yeah, I thought that was going to be the exception. I thought, like, there's no way. There's, like, 3 or 4 minutes left. They're going to blow an 11-point lead. There's no team can do that. At game 50-something, I'm still underestimating.
I was expecting it to happen.
You were? Okay, we were on different pages. Then I had hope. The Knicks game gave me too much hope, and now I'm back on that with them beating the Nuggets too. So I'm going to get hurt again soon, and I know it.
Now, so that Timberwolves game, the entire time I was like, we're going to blow this 53-point game for Tatum. Like, he's going to have a 50-plus point game, and we're going to lose to one of the worst teams in the NBA. And I don't know what the storyline's going to be. And I'm glad that I don't even have to experience that.
Yep, wins are wins. Doesn't matter. It says
Yeah,
OT on
wins are
TV, but
wins.
I don't care. Looking back, you avoided a bad loss. It's fine.
Yeah, and then yesterday in the Nuggets game, I mean, I thought we were going to lay down and die to a Jamal Murray-less Nuggets team.
Yep.
But we ended up fighting our way back once again. Theme of the week, fight. Every chance we got, we were diving for balls, which Grant Williams, he'll have like two or
Yep.
three rebounds a game, but they're always like game-saving rebounds.
Yeah, Grant's been like, or he was in that game, my favorite player. Usually, you could see it over the course of the season. He would do so many stupid things at the end of the game. You want
Well,
him to.
he does something stupid every game.
He does, but
Literally every game.
it's always, or it had been recently, always in the fourth quarter where he commits this dumb foul that kind of gets them in trouble and close to the bonus, and it just kind of makes it so the other team can bleed out the clock and they win. That usually happens, but this against the Nuggets, he defended Jokic beautifully. My favorite part of the whole thing was when JaMychal Green fouled Romeo Langford,
I was about to
and
say.
where he probably should have gotten a flagrant one. I feel kind of soft saying that or asking for it on that kind of play, but I feel like in today's NBA that's a flagrant one. But then Grant comes over and defends Romeo. I was so happy. Hadn't seen that all season, getting each other's back,
I
having
mean,
all the energy. I was so happy.
it seemed like Grant had he had attitude in that game, that entire game. Like when he was defending Jokic, he was getting in his face and just like he straight mean mugging the entire time.
Yeah, did you see when
94 feet, just like yeah, go
Yeah,
ahead.
did you see when he chest bumped Tristan, and Tristan was
Oh
in
yeah.
pain afterwards, and then Grant just didn't break his character at all.
No, not at all.
No, he
He's
wasn't messing
human.
around. He wasn't, and
Yeah,
he was going after the MVP. It was beautiful.
he was defending his teammates. He was defending the other team, which is more important. But he was doing such a great job defensively, and I mean, it kind of made up for all the stupid things he does, like when he kind of just bowling balls his way down the paint and gets a travel or whatever it is. But I mean,
I
we got the
think,
win. A
yeah,
win's a win.
I th yeah, exactly. I think I've criticized Grant more this season than you have, maybe. You've always been on the Grant train.
I think everybody has criticized Grant Williams this season.
The thing is like, I've always thought at his best, he's the perfect modern NBA role player.
He's the
But
perfect Swiss Army knife
yeah, exactly.
at full strength.
Yeah, he's awesome. But when he's not playing well, or when he wasn't earlier this season, he was maybe unplayable.
Unplayable.
Yeah, exactly. So I criticize him for that, but there are so many people out there that'll say he has no spot at any point on an NBA roster, and that's just kind of ridiculous. He showed it last night that he can be exactly what the Celtics need on in certain matchups. So like, I love him, and if he can be consistent, he would be great.
Yeah, I try to stay out of those Grant Williams talks
Yeah,
because,
you save yourself a lot of stress.
yeah, we don't need to be defending Grant
No
Williams
Grant Williams
because
slander.
I feel like if you know the value he brings, then that's where the conversation ends. There shouldn't be any convincing. I shouldn't have to convince you the value of Grant Williams. That's kind of just the eye test. Just watch the game and you'll see it.
Yeah, and then what was the. Are we on to the Timberwolves now? At the next game?
Yeah,
Yeah, we
we
did
kind of
cover a
covered
lot.
all the games, honestly.
Yeah, we did a little bit, but I wanted to kind of formally go through the
Oh yeah.
last two.
So that Timberwolves game,
Yeah.
start to finish, that was a great game, honestly.
Yeah, it was a good game. I wish they kind of finished
Well,
out.
the start was rough,
Yeah. Oh yeah. The start was actually really, really
but a
bad.
good game to
The
watch.
first half was some of the worst basketball I've seen them play all year.
We shot 2 for 17 from three, which was, I mean,
amazing.
When you look back,
impressive, truly.
How did we win that game?
But I thought they played really well in the second half. At least they could have mailed it in like they usually do. I mean, they chose not to. And you know what? It gave me one of my favorite moments with Tatum dropping 53 points.
Dude, oh my God. Like every bucket, I'm just like, wow, we have him.
Yep. And then people get into a fight about who's better, LaVine or Tatum.
Well, earlier on in the game, I mean, people were complaining that, you know, Tatum wasn't doing enough and that, you know,
and he just goes
our
off.
team was just going to lay down and die. But, I mean, in the second half, Tatum had, what, 30, you know, 38 or something like that?
Yeah, something crazy.
Like 35s. So, I mean, just be patient. That's all I can say sometimes is just be patient with this team because they are definitely a second-half team sometimes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Tatum is always a second-half guy. I don't know if that's because we play poorly in the first half and he feels like he needs to bail us out, which is possible. Yeah. But he always, as the game goes on, he gets a feel for it and he plays a lot better in the second half. Every time.
He's definitely a rhythm player sometimes.
Yeah. So, overall, wish they won by more. I wish they didn't have to go into overtime. They nearly gave me a heart attack losing that lead at the end of the game. But a win's a win.
It was nice to get the win in any way. But then if we can just move on to the Nuggets game.
Yep.
What do you think happened in the first half versus the second half for the Nuggets?
I think there was a point where they were, because in the second half they got up by, 14? Was that the peak of their lead, I believe?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. They started playing a little bit sloppy, like right around the end of the third, especially when Kemba got that breakaway layup.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it kind of started to go downhill. They just started playing lazy, and then they just kind of snowballed, and they couldn't get their legs back under them. And there was some weird subbing that I don't really understand why Malone did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jokic coming out of the game. It's very, very weird. But I liked the way the Celtics played defense throughout. And I think eventually it just got to them.
Well, yeah, I was going to say it's a combination between coaching and our defense, because you would think after 5 straight turnovers, your coach would call timeout.
Yeah, that was very weird. I've never seen anything like that. It was like the players collapsed. Mm-hmm. They got mad. They let the lack of calls that were borderline anyway get under their skin, and they just like mailed it in. They were just they called it a day. And this is the hottest team in the NBA. Hadn't lost since the trade deadline, like 8 straight games.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come in and just give up when things got tough.
Yeah, and Aaron Gordon looked decent in the first half, but then he kind of just disappeared.
Yeah, they came in, like he's supposed to be
the 7 in the first half, and I think he finished with 7.
Yeah, he was supposed to come in, and he has come in and defended the opposing team's best wing offensive player, which is Tatum for us.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second half, Tatum just ate him for lunch.
Yeah.
That was like their big addition, and then Tatum just took him the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the theme of the week, which kind of brings us on to the next little segment. MVP of the week, I mean, there shouldn't be a debate.
No, it's Jason Tatum. Easy.
Yeah, it's Jason Tatum.
Yeah, you drop a 53-point game, you're winning. You're winning that award. Absolutely.
Now, if we have like a secondary award, because I mean, we can't just have a boring week, so... What's the secondary award? Who wins the second MVP of the week?
Yeah. I would have loved to make... Actually, I can make the argument of Romeo Langford now.
Romeo... Okay, yeah, so I was caught between Tristan Thompson and Romeo Langford.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Tristan is a good one.
Because Tristan Thompson, he showed us exactly what we were missing.
Yep.
He was like, don't forget about me.
Yeah, he honestly... Go ahead.
He was the perfect person to fill in with Rob.
Yeah,
he was the guy we were missing in Philly, and then everything after that showed us what we needed.
Yeah, we always thought that Rob was the guy that you just couldn't play two bigs with, and it turns out that Tristan feels the same way. Mm-hmm. You can't play him with two bigs. And he was great. He's actually exactly what I wanted coming into the season. I just didn't give him enough credit because he was being held back by playing two bigs.
Yeah. Let me ask you, what do you think about not starting Rob, but starting Tristan instead?
I think that's what they should do sometimes. So I think Rob's
it's
been
situational.
Great. Exactly.
Like
So
very situational.
yeah, it's a matchup thing. I really believe that because Rob still has his limitations. He still can't match up with certain guys. So he's been awesome, and he doesn't even play well with some of the guys on the Celtics roster. Like Kemba doesn't play particularly well with Rob. Actually, he plays a lot better with Tristan. So I think it would be a good thing to kind of go matchup based. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, with everybody, you should always be matchup based, but I don't think we should just start Rob just to start Rob. Like, I think it's great to give him the experience, but I don't think it's necessary to kind of play him in situations where we know he shouldn't be in. Like in that Philly game, I don't know what Brad was really thinking, but when he got those two quick early fouls on, like, I think it was both on Embiid, honestly. It was on his signature, like, swipe through, and Rob just bit on both of them. He came out, but then he got subbed back in, and then like in the first quarter, and then he got his third foul like right away.
Yeah, so, I think that's just because they didn't have another choice. Like
you're
either choosing Rob, or you're going with Taco Fall and Cornette. Like those are your two other options when Tristan's out. That would have been a Tristan game through and through if he was available. Like there's no question. So I'm not that worried about that. I think Brad knows you have to play them on a matchup, based on matchups.
Yeah, so like in that situation, if we had Tristan Thompson, he would have been the option over Rob. So that in that situation, I would definitely start Tristan. But in other situations, like I don't know, maybe like against New Orleans, like you're obviously going to want to start Rob.
Yeah, I think it's like we've been saying, it's matchup based, but I think Rob is going to get the lion's share of the minutes, because he's proven that he should have them. But Tristan's making a case where he's going to get solid rotational minutes, and he deserves them too.
Yeah, I think the 28-30-minute mark for Rob is appropriate. But
yeah, those flashes of Cornette that we were getting probably won't happen anymore. Not going to see a lot of him.
Is he kind of done, do you think?
He had his
moment.
He brings something else to the table. Like, no, Tristan and Rob can't shoot.
Yeah.
So, like, he does bring that, but he's just otherwise brings nothing else to the table. And I want nothing more for him than for him to be good, because I want that Green Cornette nickname floating around every day.
I would probably take him over Taco Fall as our like last resort big man. Just because of his abilities, like to shoot. We're talking about Luke Cornett as if it's if it matters in the playoffs.
Yeah, not a huge deal not to have him. That's where those minutes are coming from. So Tristan comes in and takes Luke Cornett's minutes, and the Celtics are instantly better. Like it's not a surprise. So, but you know, switching gears over to Romeo for a second.
Romeo.
They're 4-1 since you got back. All I'm saying.
He hustles.
Yeah, he really does.
He has some mental lapses, which is fine. But at the end of the day, he's cooking.
Yeah, he's just hounding people on defense too, and it takes a lot of pressure off other people having to help, and it gives the Jays, especially with the positional overlap, of kind of taking a break on some of those guys that take a lot of their energy. So he's helping conserve the Jays' energy and doing it at a really high level. So,
I think we were talking about it last week. Like, we just need someone to come in and hold the lead. And I think, I mean, for a little bit.
Yeah.
For a little bit, he was doing it. But that'll get better with time. And he's just getting started, like you said, 4-1. He's only played 5 games.
Yeah, so are you going with so Tatum is the MVP of the week. So you're going with Tristan or – for the other one?
I want to go with Tristan because we didn't know what we were going to get with Romeo, and we still don't really know what we're getting with Romeo. We did see some flashes, but Tristan came back and did exactly what we thought he could do, and then even a little bit more. So I'm gonna reward him for that, and then hopefully we can get a little bit more playing time out of Romeo, and next week he can be, I mean, if not the MVP, the secondary MVP.
Yeah, no, I think Tristan is a good choice, but my personal one that has to be Romeo. I'm such a huge fan. I've been a fan, and I kind of even forgot how good he is on defense. He's been out for
his
so long.
His shot looks crisp.
It does. Yeah, he's more like, eventually he'll be more than a 3-and-D guy, but he can be a 3-and-D guy at a really high level right now. Mm-hmm. And I love it. Love to see it.
Yeah, and with him definitely coming back, but then also Evan Fournier and Tristan Thompson, is this Celtics team back? Like, are we back to kind of contention, like that tier two team that could get in there if, you know, certain circumstances play out?
Yeah, I think right now they're a team that shouldn't be in the play-in tournament and could win a playoff series. Before, like you asked me a couple weeks ago, this team is not winning playoff series because they're in the play. They'd probably be in the play-in tournament. Say they're the 7 seed, and they're going to play the Nets or the Sixers, and they're not winning that series.
Yeah.
But right now, say we get in a playoff series with the Hawks at the 4-5, I think we can win that series.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not afraid of any team in the East outside of the Nets and the Sixers. Yeah, yeah. So those two teams, I'm honestly the only two teams I'm afraid of, because the Bucks we'll deal with later. Actually, I don't even think we'll end up dealing with them, because I think they're going to get knocked off by one of the top two teams that I just mentioned.
Yeah,
but with the Hawks and the Hornets and even the Heat, I'm not too worried about them in 7 games. They kind of, they're all resembling the Pacers of the last few years. Like, we always deal with them in 4 games, maybe 5.
Yeah, I think I'd only be, if the Celtics are playing like this, the Nets are the only team where I'm like, I don't think we have a chance at all. The Sixers would probably win that series, but I think the Celtics do have a chance in that one. And I know that's weird coming off of them just trouncing us
the other day. But I mean, we still fought back though. I mean, like, we were down big, and then towards the end of the game, we kind of had that last second kind of like splurge of energy where we kind of just said, let's fry.
Yeah.
let's come back.
Yeah. So
I don't think we're out of that series by any means.
No, I don't,
especially,
I don't think so.
Especially with those two guys back.
They're a team that can make noise. But what I say, that we actually could make it to the finals, I don't think so.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like if a major injury occurred, then yes. But
you think we have a puncher's chance, maybe?
Puncher's chance, yeah. Okay. I think we're like that dark horse team that can do it.
Okay.
Because if Jason Tatum, if he does what he did last year in February, where he went on a couple weeks where he was just on a tear.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
And he was shooting like close to 60% from 3. If he does that again at the right time, like, it looks like he's going to start doing it now, because within the last couple games, he's gotten, what was it, like 28 and 10, 25 and 10, then 53 and 10
in the last
couple games. So, I mean, he's on a tear in that sense. If he can keep it up and then carry this team, and then Jaylen Brown being that like 1A guy or that 1B guy, I think we really do have a puncher's chance. But, I mean, we'll see down the road.
At the very least, be a team that nobody wants to face early.
Exactly. You don't want to face us as the 4 seed, or you don't want to be in the situation where you're the 1 or 2 seed and you're playing Boston.
If I'm the Bucks, I'm really hoping we don't end up in the 6 seed and have to play them. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'd want to play us. I think they'd rather even play the Heat, even though the Heat kind of destroyed them. They destroyed them. The playoffs last year, I think the Bucks are much better equipped to beat the Heat this year. Both because the Bucks are better and the Heat are worse.
Yeah, I don't anticipate us being in the play-in tournament, but As a six seed, you don't want to see us.
Yeah, the Hornets will drop off. We can hold off the Knicks, and there we go. Six seed playing the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd much rather see the Heat fall off too, and then we're in the 4-5.
Mm. Which I think we'll see happen.
Yeah, especially if we're playing like this, absolutely.
I think in the next, you know, 3 or 4 games, you'll see it.
So
yeah, so go ahead.
I want to ask you, over the course of the last 6 games with the Celtics playing this well, are you more impressed with their offense or defense?
I mean, I would probably go with... Our defense has been very good, I think. But our offense has been moving a little bit more fluently than it was, you know, say 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna give props to our offense.
Okay.
But I know our defense has been very good as of late.
No, I don't 100% disagree with that. Like, if I had to pick, I would go with the defense.
Mm-hmm.
But with the way that Tatum in particular has been playing,
mm-hmm.
he's making the everybody's life so much easier.
Yeah.
So that's true. That's what I got to give him a lot of credit for doing that.
Yeah, I think it's more because, like, obviously Tatum, but like also because we're finding ways to spread out the scoring, and like Marcus Smart, like he's getting that consistent 14-15 here and there, and then Kemba's kind of not finding his role, but like he's figuring it out.
He is, and I think he unlocked it a little bit because he's finishing around the rim a lot better.
Yeah, he definitely is. Like when he got I think he was one steal, and then I think Tristan had a steal, but he had 2 fast break layups. One was an and one. In one of the last 2 games, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the Timberwolves game. But
yeah, I think that sounds right.
Hmm. Yeah, but he was like, he's just finishing a lot better. He's looking a lot more comfortable in there. He's changing directions. He's getting like fired up when he doesn't get the foul call, which I love to see.
Yeah,
you gotta attack. I like to see when he's not smiling. I mean, I love seeing the guy smile, but I love to see when he's not smiling, because that means he's focused. He's in there. Like he's ready to go.
He's not messing around.
Yeah, but Smart's scoring well. Kemba's finding his way. You know, Brown's consistent. So, I mean, it's really just a matter of where Evan Fournier fits in this offense.
Yeah, I don't think the way that Fournier plays, I don't think it's going to be hard for him to kind of slide in and find a spot.
Yeah, so like what I'm saying is I think we're trending up, and once Fournier comes in, there's nowhere but up.
Yes, that's right. Oh, I didn't really think of it that way, but I'd agree with that. And something in your favor here is, over the last 6 games, the Celtics' assist percentage has gone from 29th on the seat, or 27th, sorry, to 9th.
Let's go.
So on the season, they're 27th. In the last 6 games, they're 9th in the NBA. So that's not nothing. That's a huge jump. So they just play the right way. And then things kind of start falling in line. But the reason I would say defense is because it seems to me that their effort has improved. Mm-hmm. And the principles on offense are largely the same. It's just a matter of executing it. But on defense, they just seem to be trying a lot harder, really mm-hmm. getting up in people's airspace and making them uncomfortable. And I think that's translating into good offense. So their defensive rating on the season is 14th. I saw that. I was kind of surprised. It felt like it was worse than that. But in the last 6 games, they've been top 5.
I think it goes back to what I said earlier about Grant Williams with the whole team.
He's the back
attitude.
He's the backbone attitude. Of the whole defense.
Well, yeah, that too. but it comes down to like attitude and just hustle. Like it's going for those like offensive rebounds that are about to go out of bounds, and you throw it back in.
Yeah, he's done that a lot.
It's diving on the floor. It's stuff that Grant Williams does, Marcus Smart's doing, you know, all these guys need to do.
Yeah, Rob hit the deck a couple times.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Rob's been saving a lot of balls.
Yeah, he's been good. He's been very good. Mm-hmm. At least hustle wise, he hasn't been
mm-hmm.
as good as he was like the previous month, I don't think, mm-hmm. but.
Even long tip outs and everything like that. Like he's fighting for those second and third chance buckets. So
Yeah.
It's going to come down to that in the playoffs. So I'm glad that we're kind of getting some of that to see now, get a little bit of rhythm.
So part of the reason why I think it's an effort-based thing that also translates over to defense is that so Tatum has gotten double-digit rebounding games 7 times this season.
And then three of them in the last
three of them in the last three games. Before that, 45 games prior, he had 4.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's just a philosophical change that they made. And like, are they just trying to make a conceited effort to have him crash the boards, or he's just really going at it? He's just going for those loose balls a lot more aggressively than he has been to this point. So
yeah, I think it's going to come down to Tatum being aggressive, because in the first two games of the week, in the Sixers and Knicks game, he had 5 free throws total. I mean, he was 5 for 5, which is great, but in the second two games, he was 23 of 24.
That's incredible. They drove to the hoops so much in that Denver game.
And
it was awesome.
And in the Minnesota game too. And it looked like in the second half of that 4-game stretch, they were a lot more aggressive offensively. And I think they kind of unlocked some of that towards the end of the Knicks game. They kind of figured it out a little bit on how to get Tatum to get loose, and then also have those other guys complement and fill in. And we kind of saw the success of that
maybe
in the Timberwolves game with the 53 point.
Yeah, maybe Tatum just stopped complaining to the refs as much, and he got some calls.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he still does complaining all game. that Timberwolves game, it seemed like everybody was just crying after every drive to the hoop.
Both teams were really mad during that game.
I was referencing Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah. He might be the only person that complains more than Tatum.
Mm-hmm. And it's more annoying.
Yes, especially because he's not on the team that I'm rooting for.
Yeah.
But yeah, Karl Anthony Towns was really annoying. He's a great player, but he was
great player.
Really annoying. But
after that game, I do not necessarily want him in Boston, because I don't think I could handle having Tatum and Kat on the same team complaining. I think we would be the most hated team as a referee.
Yeah, you know, I'm not even, if other teams, the refs are kind of a problem, but if other teams don't like us, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I would learn to love him, because he is a good player.
I can learn to love anyone on this team.
It's true. That's why Jeff Teague was so mind-blowing.
Mm.
I try to give him my bias.
I found a way to love Gerald Wallace and Chris Humphreys when they were here.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's impressive.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
So, Kelly Olynyk, too. I mean,
Kelly was. After
that Wizards game, it was hard to hate him. But
yeah, that's true. It's very hard to hate somebody who saves you in a playoff series. If I was a Wizards fan, by the way, I would be so mad. Kelly Olynyk ended my season.
That's the guy. That's the guy.
That's like my favorite part of the whole thing, is Kelly Olynyk ended someone's season.
Mm-hmm. Single-handedly.
Mm-hmm. So, over the last week, want to go over the games once, over our predictions. So, during our last podcast, you said that we're going to go 3-1, so you were right. You're right about that. But you said they were going to beat the Sixers. And what were the other ones?
I said Sixers win, Knicks loss, Wolves win, Nuggets win.
Okay, so you just mixed up the
first two. Yeah.
First two.
And then you played it safe with
Sixers loss. Calling me out like that.
Played it safe, Jeff. Sixers loss first, and then Knicks with the win, Wolves with the win, and then Nuggets we would lose. So you had 2-2.
Yeah, I was close to getting all of them right, and I have never been so happy that I was wrong after watching the Nuggets game.
Right. Yeah, so you were almost perfect.
Almost.
If you were a little bit more of a green teamer, then...
So in terms of who we were going to beat, you were 2-2. Like, so I think I won on getting the most games called right, but you got...
Yeah, you're correct. You're 3-1 on predictions, but 2-2 on actual
Yeah, so you got me on the record prediction. I got you on the game to game. So I guess we can call that a tie this time. I'll give it to you.
I'll take it, but you win. You win this time.
All right, so for the next week, we're going to Portland to play the Trailblazers, going to LA to play the Lakers, and we're coming back home to play the Warriors.
Win, win, win. Three dubs.
You're going three dubs?
Three dubs.
I'm so mad that we have the same prediction. I told you that I was all on board. And you know what I actually hate is that I think the game we have that we're going to struggle with more is the Lakers game.
Why do you say
that? Not the Trailblazers. Because, like I said, I believe in our defense right now more than I believe in our offense. And the Lakers,
great defensive team,
will actually play defense even without their two guys. They've actually been playing really good defense. They're horrible offensively.
My thought is
29
with that game
in that span.
With that game, I feel like it's just gonna be Jason. Well, I mean, we don't know who's gonna play though, because like they could rest a few guys in this 3-game stretch.
Yeah, they honestly probably need a break, but we're in the middle of a seeding race right now.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're gonna do that.
It doesn't make sense in a competitive standpoint, but I think as a long-term thing, like, hey, we might need Jalen's knee. I don't know. Just throw that out there. We might need him to get a little bit of rest.
Yeah, maybe they try to do that against the Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kinda. Yeah. Maybe they set one or both.
Or they try and blow them out early. Would be nice.
Mm-hmm. But at full strength and everything, I think with the Lakers game, I think it's going to come down to like Jalen and Jason scoring more than who? Talen Horton-Tucker? Or,
yeah.
If Kuzma's playing, maybe Markieff Morris, Dennis Schroeder. I just think the star power for the Celtics is just going to outweigh the Lakers. It's not going to matter too much for defense.
Yeah, I'd go with odds are that we win that game. But I don't feel great about it. Also because I hate Andre Drummond. Like I'm not a big fan of his.
Yeah, I didn't mention him because I don't really get too concerned with him.
Yeah, but he's going to have like 30 rebounds.
Do you think the Blazers game is going to be anything to worry about at all? I just chalked it up as a win just because I think we're a better team.
Well, we just watched them get kind of dismantled by the Heat, and the Heat aren't that good. But the Trailblazers have one of the worst defensive efficiencies in the league. I think they're 28th or 29th.
Yeah. It just seems like every team loves to play well against us because we're the Celtics, which makes sense.
Yeah, the only thing that worries me is that we're not a very good defensive team around the perimeter. So that's all it's going to come down to.
Yeah, and we're not that good out west either.
No, so it's if they can kind of if Smart, Romeo, everybody really, like Jalen can play good defense around the perimeter, then we win that game running away. But if you let them kind of get out and start bombing threes and they're falling, like we're in trouble. But there's no scenario here where the Trailblazers wipe the floor with us. So it's either going to be the Celtics win this or it's a close game, and we'll see.
Yeah, unless Enes Kanter has another 30 rebound game, and Dame goes off for 40, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, so
but
I think with the way that we're playing recently, the Trailblazers don't are like we match up pretty well with the Trailblazers. So I would chalk that up as a win. The Lakers are kind of the opposite of what we match up well with, but they're just not a good team with their two guys missing. So
yeah,
that's why they worry me.
Yeah, and with the Warriors, it's kind of just like, are we going to get Steph Curry or are we going to get, you know?
You could throw everybody.
One of the worst.
Everybody at Steph Curry. The rest of that roster is horrible.
Yeah.
James Wiseman's probably done for the season too.
Yeah.
Even though there's an argument that they are better without him on the floor. They're really putting an emphasis on his development, which is the right move.
Yeah.
It's just they're not very good with him in the starting lineup.
He needs the reps, but at the same time, he's definitely a negative on court right now.
Yeah, it will be really sad if they end up losing to the Warriors. I would really like for them to blow out the Warriors and then sit their guys so they're not playing 35 plus minutes on a nightly basis.
Yeah, I'd love to see a six game winning streak.
Yeah, and they come back
just
and
to see.
Go ahead.
Play the Bulls. Yeah, yeah. They come back, play the Bulls, and if we can win that, like that's momentum.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be home for three games. So if they, in the first game of that three-game homestand, they can kind of rest their guys and have them sleep in their own bed. I think that would go a long way. So I would be upset if they don't play well in that game. So I think the Trailblazers is going to be a win. The Lakers I'm a little bit concerned about, but they should win. And they're going to beat the Warriors. I hope they beat the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope we beat the Warriors. Yeah, I hope it's just 3-0 sweep. I can't really see any other outcome.
Are you not worried about? I mean, we've seen this season. There are plenty of other outcomes that could happen.
Yeah,
they could go back to what they were and go 0-3.
Well, yeah. To circle back to the main point of the show, are we back? Like, are the Celtics back? Yes, I do think so, and I think we're going to be coming back in stunning fashion.
Okay.
I think we're going to come into these next three games scoring a lot of points. I think our offense is going to be really efficient. I think we're going to see really good ball movement. But like you said, I think that defense is going to shine.
Yeah, I think it's going to be – this is a big three-game stretch, I think. I think this is a big deal. This week is huge because going into next week, they have some tough games. So if they can kind of win these ones and then separate themselves from the Knicks, the Hornets, hopefully overtake the Heat, then that would be huge going into that tough stretch.
Yeah, we play the Hornets twice in the next two or three weeks.
Yeah, before the month is over, they play them twice.
Yeah, it's late April. Yeah. So we're gonna have a lot of time to create some separation in the East. Try to lock up that fourth spot. I mean, I think it's possible we could catch the Bucks, but I mean, that's only if they drop,
Oh, I think that's out of the question.
You think it's out?
Yeah, the Bucks are steady. They're pretty locked in. Guess what are they like? We are, let's see. They're three games back. We're 8.5 games back. We're 5.5 games back in the Bucks with 20 games left. So.
Yeah,
that would be tough.
We'll be comfortable in the four seed, play probably Miami
or Atlanta.
Or Atlanta.
Yeah, it would be Miami or Atlanta.
Yeah.
Which is I'm okay with, even though we have a losing record this year against the Hawks. But that's okay. They haven't played these Celtics.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm so excited to see more Evan Fournier too when he comes back.
Out of these three games. This week, you're saying if they're going to lose one, it would be against the Trailblazers?
If they lose one, it'll probably be against the Lakers. Just because it's going to be, I feel like the Celtics-Lakers rivalry games are always, they're always close for some reason. Except for the time when we blew them out without Kemba.
Yeah, nationally televised.
Yeah, nationally televised.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think if we lose any of them, it'll probably be against the Lakers. But the Blazers, they'll give us some sort of fight.
Hey,
but 3-0.
At least we're both making bold predictions of winning three straight games here with this.
Now we're both playing it safe because we want to.
Yeah, this is playing it safe.
All records.
No. It could very well go really poorly, and we could both look dumb to come next week.
Yeah, we could drop three straight.
Yeah, maybe we're getting too high on the Celtics, but we'll find out. I'm confident.
Yeah, we're just two green teamers that run podcasts. It's a great point to wrap up the show. Thank you for listening. Subscribe on our YouTube channel. Check us out on all of our social media accounts at Celtics Journal on Twitter and The Celtics Journal on Instagram. Thanks for joining me, Jeff. It was a pleasure. Have you on again next week, and we'll talk more Celtics basketball.
Sounds great.
All right.